Okay.
Back up. Will it pick up?
Hello everybody. Back of the room, can you hear me? All right, I can see to the midway of the room, can you hear? Hey, Karen S., can you hear me? No. Karen from Vermont, can you hear me? Hello, back of the room, can you hear me? So hello, can you hear me in the back of the room?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I was just going to move it. Are you good that way?
I am.
Move it closer to you.
So we probably are going to need to keep the door shut to help us manage the noise in the back of the room. All right, let's begin with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Wow. So we are happy to have you here for this workshop. It has a long title, but I'm calling it the Promises Workshop. And I apologize that I don't remember the long title, but that'll get you here. I'm Kimberly. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I am seated with Carol Ann. We are co-leaders for the meeting, and we will each have 20 minutes to speak, and then we'll open the room for shares for up to 3 minutes. This session is being recorded. Now, what I would ask you to do before I turn it over to Carol Ann is who in the back of the room would like to be the person who could tell us if we're not speaking loud enough? One person. Sitting on the chairs. All right. If If we need to speak louder, will you just raise your hands like this, right? That would be great. That would be very helpful. So I am happy to introduce my friend, Carol Ann.
I hardly know where to start. I'm getting nervous. It's not like me. What's happening? Microphone, can you hear me now? This is a party. The promises are a party. Yeah. And like I was getting tired a half an hour ago, so now I gotta take some deep breaths. When I see all these people, I say, why did I do this again? But you know what? I tell you why I did it. And then let me just tell you why I did it, and then I'll tell you what I'm supposed to start with. I did this because I have a bone to pick with the formats, where they end with somebody read from the promises. And those are only the 9-step promises. We have lots of promises. Kimberly and me might do a weekend on the promises because it's just so much to get through. Okay, however, I'm supposed to tell you about me. My name's Carol Ann. I'm from Mamaroneck, New York. We travel in packs. I made it to a decade. Can you believe that? 10 years in August. Thank you, God. I mean, when I came in and heard people like with a year, it's just a miracle. It's a promise. Okay, 115 pounds. I usually bring my pants, and I didn't. But I brought my pictures. I'll pass them around. The last page is the most impressive. Okay, now we're going to get to work.
The microphone.
It's working.
So
not the microphone, the recorder.
Recorder's going. All right. One more thing is, I was so happy to learn I'm leading doing this with Kimberly. This is like you meet friends here. It's part of the promise that you'll get to them. I met her when I just came in, and then when I found out I was going to be doing this with her, like it's just a beautiful thing. Okay, now, so we're going to start. It's really hard to, isn't there a way to put this like in front of me so it just, I don't have to keep like leaning over?
I think it should be like up this way a little bit and then more like that.
Oh, thank you. All right, hopefully.
You can move the bottom.
Yeah, this is what I got.
Just move that.
How's that?
Wait, can you hear, put it up one more inch. Heaven. How's that?
Yay.
Okay. Because I like to use my hands.
Front of the room, don't tell us if you can hear us.
All right.
The back of the room.
Okay, here we go. We can time now. All right, anyway, I told you like my pet peeve why I'm here. But now we're going to try to take this a little bit normally. So one thing about when we do our work in this program, the promises can help us know what's going to come when we do that step. And then they can help us know if we've completed this step. Okay, that's just a heads up. Now, we're going to have lots of promises. So I'm going to do the promises according to the steps of the big book. And one reason I signed up for this, too, is I wanted to learn more, and we're going to learn more from Kimberly. She knows promises from the Olay literature. The first promise is on the beginning of the book. It tells us it's the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. I'm going in and out. Thank you for the feedback. All right, let's keep going. Okay, listen, the biggest promise is on page one, the story of how many we all have recovered. And of course, we're not cured, but the promise is that we can be recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Now, who wants that? Who wants that? And that's not in the 9-step promises. Okay. I'm going to just read some of them, and I'm going to tell you how I've experienced them. So we'll start at the top from 1. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. I'm going to talk about a couple of those. So, um, If he did not work, he would surely drink again and die. Okay, the ifs are kind of like warnings. So if I don't work, and the work is the steps, right, and staying spiritually fit, if I know in my heart, if I don't do that and I eat again, my life is like, I don't want to go back to where it was. I had credit card debt. I was morbidly obese. I was depressed. I didn't know where I was going to get clothes next because there was none big enough. So if I take a bite, I mean, that's where I'm going to go. But the promise is if I continue doing my living in the steps, I say living in the steps and the traditions, then it's going to be okay. And the next thing is kind of like a warning, no real alcoholic. And we figure out if we're the real thing, the real deal, but we don't get control. And, you know, it's kind of okay because we can have more fun without the food. All right, because we have all these other things that are going to come our way. Step two has lots of promises. It was only, and I'm going to pass some of these around. You can take pictures and it tells you the pages. But I didn't want you to be distracted while I'm trying to go over this. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more is required to make that beginning. We've heard about that, I'm sure, in different sessions. We just need a little bit of willingness, although willingness can be overrated. You know, there's different ways of looking at that thing. But we just want to change what we had. We want to leave the past behind us. And then when we do that, we make the beginning to get all these things. This is a good one. We saw that it really worked in others. Okay. When I came 10 years ago, I had three main meetings. One was always on the AA literature, Alcoholics Anonymous book, and AA 12 and 12. The other one was OA 12 and 12. And then I went to a speaker meeting. And at the speaker meetings, this is where I could learn this. If it happened for them, it could happen for me. I learned to identify. I heard terrible stories as bad as mine, but they were better. They were happy, they were living at a healthy body weight, and it gave me hope. And here it is, if it works for them, it can work for me. 15, thank you. Now, another one. The great fact is this and nothing less. We've had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, our fellows, and God's universe. And so, like I'm walking around a different person than I used to be. And like, I can't tell you how it happened. I can't even tell you how I lost the weight. I know my sponsor told me I could only weigh myself once a month. And I know I lost 80 pounds in a year because I wrote an article for a professional newsletter that OA used to have and I lost 80 pounds. But I just kept doing this stuff and the weight went away. And now I keep doing this stuff, and my relationship with my higher power gets stronger and deeper. Those are step 10. We're getting there. I promise. I promise. Okay. Ding. I'm going to do like last night's person. I promise. Ding. Okay. No, we're really not going to do that. That's her story. Okay. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we could never do by ourselves. So listen, guys, many of us were up and down, too low, too high, all the things we do with food. And, but here I am 10 years later. It's like my higher power is doing this. It's just a miracle. And that's a promise. A new life has been given to us. Or if you prefer a design for living that really works. So, I wrote something here. Okay, it's a design for living. So like, I still think the world is a little mixed up. I know my life is kind of, has problems because the more I do this work, the more problems I find out I really had all along, you know? But you peel the onion and like sometimes I wish it just happens, but that's okay because then I can get better and better. And I also learn, like, the more problems I have, the more people I can help. It's kind of funny, but it's... So anyway, this is my design for living. People who know me have heard this. It's like being in a rowboat. Some people refer to it. But my sponsor told me years ago, I have two oars. So the fellowship, this is part of my design for living, okay? This is important. This is a convention, the meetings, the phone calls. Okay, that is really important. It's a we program. But if I'm just doing this oar, I'm going in a circle. The other oar is the steps and the traditions. So if I'm only hanging out in meetings and I'm only making 3 phone calls a day, I'm missing the program, right? The steps and the traditions where all these promises are. So my work is to keep rowing these oars, both oars, doing the work, and then in the front of my rowboat is God, my higher power. And I have to trust and have faith that God, higher power, will steer the boat. And I have to, and then I accept, I have faith and trust, and then I know it's all going to be well, because it always is. And it always has, it always works out the way it's meant to be. And if I don't believe that, the alternative is pretty bad anyway. So that's another thing I just tell myself. It's so much better than it used to be. Another one that I really like here is, as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. So this word lay aside, like I know that then that is like where the set aside prayer comes from. People may or may not have heard of that, but there's different versions. Basically, it's like where we're asking God to help me set aside what I think I know about the program, my food, this person, fill in the blank, so that I can have a new experience with all these things. And then God help me see the truth. So that's a beautiful thing for me to remember. And the promise is that when we begin to do that, we're going to see marvelous things happen. I promise you, listen, you guys, try this stuff. You're going to take some pictures of this. You're going to try this. I mean, the steps are in order, but look for these promises. And this is just like a highlight of all this. There's no way you could possibly absorb all this now. I like this one too. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. Now, I have adult kids, and they don't like to listen to me. But one thing I find that is pretty interesting is that if I say, like, you know, this God, like, it deep down within you. And my daughter, unfortunately, had to put a 2-year-old cat down in May. It's a sad, long story. But when we were there at the vet emergency room, and she wanted to know what I thought. I can't tell her what to tell her anyways. Tradition 10 tells me I don't have an opinion on those outside issues. That's an outside issue for me. But that's another session. But here in this case, I told her, you have, Allison, reach deep down within. You have a power. You're going to do what's best for Lila. And you know what? I mean, this. I'm sorry, it's making me like, it was a sad moment. She did. It was really hard for me. I had to trust too. But she was so strong. I was so proud of her. And I think she felt that. I think it's all in there, ladies and gentlemen. All right? You may have heard this. I heard it at another workshop. Deep down within you is the higher power that lives with every woman and child and man. And sometimes you might experience out there with the leaves. You might experience it sitting quietly in your home. Usually got me a little quiet, but it's there. It's a promise. All right. This is a good one. This is one of the last, there's more, but I told you step 2 has a lot. This is a good one too. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. So I turned 60 last year and had a party and invited the people that helped me through all the problems in my life get there. And my artist daughter made a sign that said, "Grow old with me, the best is yet to be." That comes from some famous book. I actually use it at a meeting and change it to stay abstinent with me, the best is yet to be. But the point is here that the most satisfactory years lie ahead. So, you know, we just want to leave the past behind us. We want to put down that food. I know this is hard. I went down the aisles with blinders on in the beginning. I called people from the store. It was a life change. But I can assure you, better years have come from that, and I know better years are yet to come still. Because especially then when we have this fellowship part of all this, my friends, my connections, it's like we understand each other, right? This is a crazy real example. I have usual crazy ways of timing myself at these talks. So my friend right there, I asked her, how should I do this one? She said, you have no options. They have pre-timed cards. But she's so kind, she's right there to help me. It's touching, right? What's she telling me, my time's up? She always tells me when to stop talking. She just pulls me out. Okay, all right, we're moving on. I would enter, we're up to step three. Made a decision to turn her life and her world over. I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, and I would have the elements of a new way of life. So, you know, when my new relationship, when I first came in, my sponsor told me I can make a job description of what I want my higher power to be like, and I did that 10 years ago. Now, I have another sponsor. It's been probably 6 years. I lost track, but she told me from day one, my job for the rest of my life, that's a long time, I hope. Job for the rest of your life is to stay abstinent. That's only step one, guys. Then we have the 11 others, you should know that too. And to grow spiritually. So my relationship with my higher power is always changing. I do different kinds of meditations different kinds of connections or walks, but the point is, I will have a new relationship with my Creator and have elements of a new way of life. Oh, I only have 5 minutes. That means I gotta move on to the next page. Let me just see something. If there's any more important thing here. I have stars down here. Stars. Let's quickly, the beginning of step nine is where they talk about if we are painstaking about this phase of our development. Who knows those? If we are painstaking, those are usually the promises, but I want you to promise me when you leave here today that you're going to share the news that there are many more promises than these. Oh, these are wonderful. And the thing that is sometimes confusing, if you don't know there's more, is it says halfway through. So some people think it means halfway through the steps, you're going to get those 9-step promises. It really means halfway through step 9, which means you're amends. So it's important. You're not just going to get all those wonderful ones sooner than the amends process. Okay, now going down the home stretch, I must skip more of those. You know them anyway, because step 10 are almost my favorite ones. Does anybody know step 10 promises? A few. Well, when I heard those, I'm like, why didn't somebody tell me this in the beginning? It's basically, when you get to step 10, maybe I won't read them because I'm running out of time, but you really get like food neutrality. And you can be around your trigger foods, and it doesn't matter. My daughter got married. I don't know what they ate for that cake. I really don't. I don't know what my birthday cake was when I was 60. People told me it was great. Some people that know I'm doing this for 10 years thought I'd at least eat the cake at my birthday. Why would I want it? No. Anyway, and the other thing that's magical is that it just happens. It really doesn't. I didn't know about step 10 promises, but then when I finally learned, I said, you know what, that's right. I recall it from as a hot flame. I have food neutrality, I personally still have a healthy, I think it's a healthy fear of the first bite. Because, and I don't want to ever try it. We've not sworn off, the problem has been removed. And one more thing, it's we cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So put that on for size. Like after you get the food down, which is step one, you can apply this to all the other problems. It's just beautiful. All right, we're really running low, I'm sure. Step 11, and many people know about those, about being much less in danger, excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and those foolish decisions. I put there, that reminds me of emotional sobriety. So when I'm abstinent from food, like a lot of my challenges are 6 and 7, character defects, and these things, fear, anger, worry, emotional sobriety, trying to stay calm, relying on God. But it tells me when I'm doing this, step 11, I can put a check mark if I am in much less danger of all that. And so, on to, I'm getting close to the end, right? Timer there? 2 minutes. A few about step 12. This is the great promise of the program. Having had a spiritual awakening. Does anybody know that? Mm-hmm. Having had a spiritual awakening, not necessary experience, as a result of the steps, these steps, that's the great promise. And then when you have it, life is different. So, some of the things that happen, fellowship, friendliness, right? That's wonderful. The tremendous fact is that we discovered a common solution. We all come with a common problem, and we have a common solution, this program, if we stay in fit spiritual condition. That's another thing. So there's a few little promises from those chapters about the wives and the family afterward, but I would like to just wind up. I have these common final messages. One is my hope. Hope is a special word for me. This program gives us hope. Is that you will all learn and share. The message is that there's lots of promises. This is just even not even this much of them. And learn about them for your own beautiful new life. And that my promise, is that you can experience all the promises. You just have to put the food down. And if it happened to me, if I can do it, it can happen to all of you. I'm out of time. Now, thank you very much. And I pass to Kimberly. No, yes.
Yes.
Kimberly. Because there's more promises.
Thank you, Carol Ann. Can you hear me in the back of the room? All right. There's something really special when you know somebody from the beginning days of OA and you see a miracle. When you see that picture of her pants and her standing in one leg, that kind of is a promise, isn't it? So just quickly, a little bit about me. I've been in OA for 34 years. And abstinent, well, it's a little more than 34 years, and abstinent 34 years, I maintain, if my math is right, 86. Maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. And I really came into OA not expecting much. I had read a book that said if you recognize yourself in this book, you need a 12-step program. And I lived in France, and there were no clothes in my size. So I thought maybe the overeating 12-step program would be one to check out because I recognized myself in this self-help book. And that self-help book got me to OA. And here I am today. In the beginning, I didn't buy everything. I didn't argue, because that would require being honest about having an opinion. And I had a promise. I promised myself that I was going to stay here until I got thin, and then I would leave and never gain weight again. That was my promise. And luckily, someplace along the way, I had a spiritual awakening, because that's what got me here today. And one of the things that my first sponsor told me to do, we studied the big book, and she told me to color code different things. If there was something that it told me to do, I was to highlight it in yellow. If there was something that was a promise, I was highlight it in green, and there were other things. So, and you heard a lot of my green highlighting from Carol Ann. There's more, but there was more that she has. And I want to close with one big book promise that saved my life in abstinence. So help me remember that when I get the 5-minute sign from Kathy here. So I do want to say I also have a list of promises. I made copies, but I made like 25 copies, and so that's not going to go very far. So I like Carol Ann's idea of taking pictures of them. That's a good idea. So when after doing the whole green highlighting thing in the big book, when I got the OA 12 and 12, I had the same kind of a thought of, you know, the yellow highlights, the green light highlights, etc. And I think I have maybe 61 promises in the OA 12 and 12. I don't have them all numbered. I want to share some of those with you. And first of all, on page 61, there was something that was very important to me. If only I could find my note. So let me go to page 61. I'm usually so organized. yep, somebody knows me. I had a lot of passive-aggressive resentments. I was never openly resentful, because that would require way too much honesty. And this tells me that if I prayed for people, I would be relieved of my resentments to them. And because that relates to one of my green highlights in the big book, that which tells me to write down all the things I want for myself and pray for the other person to have them and ask to be free to my resentments. And I found that to be a huge promise. The action of praying for those we resent will work, even if we don't mean a word of what we're saying. Now, that's very important. I got chilled. I got chilled that you like it, too. So what is that? If I pray and I don't mean what I'm praying for, that's acting as if. So there's a promise on page 13 of the 12 and 12, and if I'm not talking about the OA 12 and 12, I will say the AA 12 and 12, but I don't think I have any AA quotes here. That says, we began to act as if such a power existed, and we found good things happening. And little by little, we came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And so for me, the promise is that acting as if will lead to coming to believe. Act as if led to coming to believe. And it was hard for me because I thought I was supposed to be authentic and, you know, just living my shit. And, oh dear, that's on the recording. But anyway, and if I wanted something different, I needed to do something different. And if I couldn't do something different easily, I could figure out what it would look like, and then I would act as if. Act as if led me to came to believe. And then it says, I apologize if I already read this to you, but once we truly take the third step, we cannot fail to recover. So this, the OA 12 and 12 promises me that if I do the work, I cannot fail to be restored to sanity when it comes with food. I cannot fail to recover. And then it says, step five is the beginning of freedom. The great burden of our prior acts will be lifted. And that's on page 44. That was huge. I had, I'm sure you will relate, a deep-seated inferiority complex that told me I'm not good enough, and if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't love me. You wouldn't think I was that hot. And I brought that into OA with me. And this tells me that can be lifted. And all I needed was a willingness to act. And that's on page 15. Then if we hop way out in the book to step eight, on page 62, it says we can be willing to do something that we don't want to do. Now, that's good news and bad news, because that takes my excuses for not doing what I don't want to do. That takes the excuses away. But it changed my life, because I thought I would pray to want to do something. And that was the wrong prayer. I mean, there are no wrong prayers, because I think when I pray silly things, God looks at me in the same loving way some of you just looked at me. You know, yes, honey, that's right. I hear God saying, keep coming back. But there were a lot of things I didn't want to do. I really didn't think I was going to stay here. I really thought I was going to get thin and leave and magically stay thin. But I was willing to go to a meeting. I was willing to go to two meetings. I didn't want to go to three meetings a week. And then in 1986 in Paris, we didn't have meetings 24 hours a day like we do now. And so we supplemented with AA meetings. I really didn't want to go to the AA meetings, but I could be willing to go if somebody else went. I could be willing to try things that I was uncomfortable with. And that brings me back to being acting as if and letting it take me to believe and being willing to start fresh and to change my concepts of what was going on and try new things. And when something didn't work, I could be willing to try something different. All very, very big things for me. If we go out to, how am I doing here on time? I'm not paying. 11 minutes. Ooh, couldn't it be 12? That would be cosmic, but always angling for another minute. I came in and I really didn't have a concept of a higher power or of a spiritual higher power. But I was kind of functionally agnostic. I didn't disbelieve and I didn't believe. And I didn't care. You know, it's like you told me to pray, I prayed. Serenity prayer, it had the word, I use the word third step prayer. I use the religious or names of God in it. And what I found is by the time I got through my fifth step, I was starting to buy things more, meaning buy the party line here in OA, you know, what you crazy people were telling me. And I still didn't know that I had this huge connection. But here, what I didn't know was it says on page 67, this promise, when we finish our amends, most of us will feel closer to our higher power than ever before. And I will tell you that was true for me. I still didn't have a specific concept of God. And honestly, I don't today. I'm very comfortable using the word God, but I don't have a religious thought of a God. For me, God is a spirit of love and caring and white light and comfort and goodness. And I don't have specific names that I use, but what I found was that none of that mattered, because acting as if led to coming to believe, and taking the actions in the fifth step brought me feeling a little better about myself, and in the eighth step, brought me to feeling more connected to a higher power than I had been before. And I will tell you, I was worried about, this is all out of order. I don't know why they, now that I'm looking at this, I got them in order in the book order. So much to talk about. So here's one that is apropos right now. It says, we are no longer ruled by fear. And what a great deal is that? Fear of not being good enough, not ruled by fear of admitting my mistakes. I have the integrity to show my true self to the world. And, you know, some days I feel that and some days I still am afraid. And I have this promise here that tells me that I don't have to be ruled by fear. I can have the integrity to show the world my true selves. It's a crazy example, but somebody last night asked me about something that they wanted to do and if they could do it. And it was, to me, a pretty obvious tradition violation. And it was, to her, not at all a tradition violation. It was something wonderful that she loved, that she wanted to share with people. And my first thought was, And then my second thought was, I can be true to my role, but that's all of our roles, right? To tell somebody, if needed, about a possible tradition, right? I could have integrity, and I could still be kind and loving in telling her that it was a traditions break. And I love that these promises have come true. There, I have my thumb here, so I'm supposed to, oh, I did that one. 69, let's see what it says on 69. Okay, so it's at page 69, it talks about the promises of permanent recovery. And so when I first got here, I told you I was going to get the food plan, I was going to get absent, I was going to get skinny, and I was going to go live my life, and you guys could go to meetings. And by the time I got here in step 10, I really wanted to stay abstinent, right? It wasn't at step 10, but someplace in between step 1 and 10, I didn't want to get abstinent and leave because I knew that was not a good idea. That was not God speaking. And I wanted the promise of permanent recovery. And it so then it says, and some of you are probably thinking of this, there's no promise of permanent recovery, but the OA 12 and 12 says that repetition is the only form of permanence that nature can achieve. If we are to experience permanent recovery from compulsive overeating, we will have to repeat day after day the actions that we have already brought us so much healing. And when I was highlighting the big book, my sponsor made sure I had to highlight everything that was a have to or a must. So even though I haven't done that necessarily in the OA 12 and 12, I always hear that ding going on with a have to or a must. I have to keep repeating a day at a time. But if I do that, I can experience freedom from compulsive overeating. I can experience permanent recovery. That's a crazy promise. That's really, when I think back to that kid in high school that was teased and bullied just relentlessly, or when the college professor made fun of me in front of the whole class about something, when I think about going into stores that didn't have clothes that fit me, or realizing that my pants were falling down at school because the elastic had worn out, to have the gift of permanent recovery from this disease and have it not be a, I have to eat this way, but I hope I can always eat this way, is a beautiful thing. So now I have 5 minutes, and we couldn't figure out how to not double over each other if we both talked from both books. But I told Carol Ann I had one thing I wanted to share with you, and I hope I can find it here. Maybe not. Okay, it's here. It's here. In the big book, one of the most meaningful promises in the big book is in chapter 5, for me, that saved my life. And it says, when we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. So for a long time, that was a nice sentence. And then I lived long enough in recovery reading the book to face calamity. And many of you have faced calamity. I went to, my parents were divorced. They lived in different suburbs of the same city. It was my mother's birthday. I went to see her. We didn't tell Dad I was there because I made this whole big deal about it's just a girl's weekend for your birthday. I got home. My father had collapsed and ultimately was found to be in a persistent vegetative state. And I, you know, I'm going to go with that's a calamity. My stepmother and disagreed with my brother and I about what to do, but we were pretty sure that nobody knew more than she did and what Dad would want. They were on their own journey. So I remember when we still hoped he might wake up, I was in the cafeteria one night getting my dinner, and there was something, I do a red, yellow, green list for my abstinence, as part of my abstinence. And there was something on my yellow list that was kind of doing the can-can over here to get my attention. Da, 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 right? And I looked at that and I said, no. I looked at that and I said, no. And then I looked again and God said, if it would bring your father back, I would serve it to you, but not tonight. And that helped me meet calamity with serenity. So there are many, many more promises in the big book, many, many more promises in the OA 12 and 12 and in the other program literature. And I am excited and happy that we're going to have time to hear from many of you on your favorite promises. And I'm trying to think what we need to say next. Oh. Thank you. And between crying and dust, I have to stop sniffling. Okay, so before opening for 3-minute shares, we will end at, what time will we end at?
3:30,
thank you. And so for the rest of the time that we have, we'll have 3-minute pitches from the floor. Who is our timer? All right, timer. Kathy is still our timer. All right, she's a great timer. You're going to love her. There are lots of reasons to love Kathy.
Oh, yeah, thank you, everyone.
If you would like to share, please come to the front of the room. We remind you that this session is being recorded, and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a anonymous, please use a fictitious name or don't share. The meeting is open for sharing.
Hi, my name is Marlene. I am a compulsive reader from Toronto, Canada. Good to be here. So the title of this workshop, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, that is my favorite saying. That's what I'm saying all the time. I'm always living beyond my wildest dreams. And the first gift the best gift I got from this program is the fact that I have a fabulous relationship with my children. That would not be the way it is because I was a control freak. When they had kids, well, I know better. And for 2 months, my son and his wife didn't talk to me. So I've learned the hard way. But today, my relationship is good. And that's a really good gift for me. And the other thing I wanted to say was, I love all the promises, but my favorite promise is the one from step 10. I'm going to read it to you. Okay, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we will recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. What a fabulous promise. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Thank you.
Good afternoon, family. My name is Kathy, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater and your former timer. Joanne is now timer. I want to, if anyone is new, welcome to the House of Hope. And when Carol Ann, our first speaker, said that the promises are a party, this is a life way, way, way more than we ever expected. The Promises Workshop should be more than 20-minute shares. That's one thing I have. I came into program over 10 years ago, and I met these two women. And my life, you know, my emotional support human here. And just a couple of things, like just being here. I went to a workshop last night, and I came out, and there were two young girls sitting in the lobby. I knew both of them separately. They didn't know each other. They happened to be in program. They happened to both be teachers. They lived 10 minutes away from each other. They just connected last night. I mean, just to see that a guy has extra pamphlets, he gave them to me to give to my newcomers. A few months ago, I heard a girl in one of the meetings, she started a meeting. It's a welcome home meeting. I want a welcome home meeting. So I started to form a meeting, and she gave me the format, and I was grateful. And I was in the Attitude of Gratitude meeting, which was wonderful. And I look at my watch, and it's the girl who gave me the format. She said, are you at the convention? I mean, I get to meet that girl now. I mean, I don't even know where she's, probably in Region 6, of course. I just cannot say enough about this program. I get to do this. Like, I get to be here. I get to see you. We have our little, you know, Westchester group here, and, you know, we do fun things. Before, last year, we went to Mystic, Connecticut. They had a bring your dinner and meeting, and about six of us went to this meeting, and we met people from the meeting that told us about things to do the next day. We went sightseeing. It's just amazing. And at that meeting, they said, oh, next year our group is going to have a prayer and meditation meeting in Mystic, Connecticut, November 15th. And that was from 2023. And now a group of us are doing that. And then I got to sit next to somebody from the Ocean and Bay, hear my two-way prayer. That two-way prayer meeting was 7 o'clock this morning, and it's tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. And if you can find, ask God to help you, because I've heard 17 people tell me why they couldn't come. But if you go deep within yourself and know that tomorrow is the last day you get to see that in person, it is a feeling. It's absolutely wonderful. Thank you all for being part of my recovery. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Hi.
You put up 1 minute left already. Like, I didn't say anything yet. Is that a hint? Thank you. I really got a lot out of it. And you know, I had in my book folded already the ones that, you know, that just speak to me. And the one is the one that you shared, Kimberly, that just, you know, we're in the world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent as we do what we think he would have us and humbly rely on him.
does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? And that just tells me that I don't have to worry about the end. I just have to do right in the moment what I believe God would have me do. And that's usually a lot clearer than I actually, you know, if I'm thinking about what I have to do 10 steps down the road, I don't know. But usually I do know for today. And so, like, you know, these steps work. It works for food, right? It all worked for food. It worked for weight. I came in here, I was over 300 pounds. I was crushed, you know, but life goes on and life gets lifey. I mean, I was just talking to someone, life just gets real. And, you know, my current situation is my mom has dementia. I don't know where it's going to go, but I know each day what I believe my God would have me do. And here's what happens for me when I humbly rely on him. I actually want to do what I believe God wants me to do. I just said to somebody, like, I've fallen in love with my mother. Like, how does that happen? You know, I came in here resenting her. She was the cause of my problem. And now I look at her and I'm like, I can't imagine loving a human more. You know, that's what God has done for me. You know, the other thing that I had folded here was, it's page 101. This is like one of my favorites, that both you and the new man must walk day by day on the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. That's a promise. Remarkable things are going to happen. And that when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. So that's a promise. Like, I'm going to get better than I could ever plan. And that if I follow the dictates of a higher power, we will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. So we actually get to rise above the crap. Whatever's going on, I sort of feel like I hover above, and I can live in happiness and joy. And that's a great promise. I don't have to worry about what's going on. Thanks. I'll pass. Amen.
I'm Beth, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic from Nashua, New Hampshire. Yay, Nashua!
Is it okay if I mention a food?
Okay. I had to ask if it was okay if I mention a food. I'm going to go back to, I've been in program. I first came to my first meeting in May of 1987. I've left twice. I've came back in August of 97, and there's nowhere else I'm going to go because this is the last house on the block, blah, blah, blah. I tell people in my meetings, if you don't like me, don't come to this meeting because I'm going to keep coming to this meeting. Anyhow, and this isn't a popularity contest. The promises. I'm going to preface this with a quick story. In January of 92, I had a co-sponsor. And after a meeting, she came up and said, oh, I need a sponsor too. Let's co-sponsor. Okay, so she said, I'm going to make commitments, tell you my commitments. And I was like, all right. She was going to commit not to eat something, not to eat popcorn. And I was like, that's not a problem for me. She was going to commit to love herself no matter how others treated her. And I went, ooh, I kind of like that. And wanting to people please and come up with a food I wasn't going to eat, I said, well, I commit not to eat chocolate today. And then I went, who said that? Okay, because we were going out with friends and I knew there was going to be desserts. Well, there was this chocolate thing, and then there was another dessert that I didn't like. And I was like, what am I going to eat? I went in the kitchen and talked to the hostess, and she was making tea with leaves, and I'd never seen that before. Anyhow, fast forward, I have not had chocolate since the day before that day. I don't remember the date. So I'm coming up on, 33 years? I had a man ask me once if I was female. Because you don't eat chocolate? No, I don't. No. I haven't died. I'm in a position of neutrality. Thank you. And that's the promises that I love, are the 10-step promises. I didn't realize that by saying that one day, that all the 10-step promises around this food have come true. That I don't recoil. I went through a phase of, I hate it. I love it, but I can't have it. And now I'm just neutral. It exists, I exist. And I'm so grateful for those promises, the hidden promises they were told. I was told that that's what they were, but those are the ones I love. That, I kind of swore off, but I didn't swear off. And now I'm in a position of neutrality, and I'm so grateful. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Anne, a very grateful compulsive eater, abstinent one day at a time. And I want to go real quick to two things. First of all, my favorite promise is the 12th of the ninth step promise. We suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I'm here because of one of those. God did for me. When I went to register, the hotel was booked. I live in Florida. There was no driving up here. I live in Florida. So I thought, oh, well, I guess I'm not coming. Wasn't happy, but there was a wait list and a roommate list. So I put up on it and gave up the idea, said to my sponsor, because I was really looking forward to come here because I live in Florida, my sponsor lives in Canada. So this is gonna be the first time we get to see in person since I asked her to be my sponsor. And I think it was the last in-person pre-COVID Region 6. And then I get an email saying, hey, we got a room, you want it? Like, thank you, God. So that's, I didn't do it, you know? God did that for me. God said, yes, you need to be here. So I say, I am a walking, talking miracle. I'm also walking, talking proof that God does this. The other one I love is in the 10th step promises, which we read at one of my meetings. And the food neutrality. Now, if I say this next sentence in front of normal people, they look at me like I am not human. I haven't had a cookie in 17 and a half years. Now, considering I would rob my kids' piggy banks for cookies. An open box was an empty box. And I was looking for the next box. So that's a miracle in and of itself. But it also, we talked about the facing calamity. I think I have just enough time to tell a story. So, November of 2013, my baby sister dies. October of 2014, her twin dies. December of 2015, my husband of almost 30 years dies. I think you call that kind of calamity, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't say that to be... So right after my husband died, I'm in the supermarket, and you know sometimes they have the stuff you don't want to look at along with stuff you need. So I'm going down this cookie aisle, and all of a sudden over here, I see this package of what was one of my favorites going, pick me, I'm going to solve all your problems. See, normal people would be laughing like, what do you mean? It was dancing on the shelf. And I looked at it, and they have to understand, I don't curse, and I don't use the F-bomb. But I looked at that package, and I said, are you, beep, out of your mind? And what kept on going. And I'm out of time, so thank you, God.
So, to close, wanted to talk about one more calamity and another quote in the big book that's saved my life. So my dad was in a vegetative state. My mom had emphysema and passed away a few months later. And then several months later, I was traveling with my stepfather to scatter my mom's ashes. And he had a heart attack in his hotel room. Calamity. I can't say that I had serenity, but I had the ability to function. And I was too numb for serenity, but I was not lost. and there's this line in the big book, and to me it's a promise. You may or may not have found it when you were doing all of the green highlighting in your big book. It says, the flimsy reed we grasped is the loving hand of God. And I pictured when I read that, that I was slipping off what I thought was a flimsy reed, and God's hand, and I never, is that anthropomorphizing, if you humanize, I never see God as a being, but God's hand was right below my feet, and that if I could just relax and let it slip off the rope, I would fall gently into God's loving hand. And if that is not a beautiful promise, when I was at the deep of my PTSD, because there's lots of details that make it more dramatic, and grief, truly that line saved me. So Carolyn and I would have loved to have had 100 and however many copies of things to hand out to you. But what we're going to do, because there's another workshop coming in here and we need to turn it around, we're going to pin a copy of each of the handouts to the bulletin board outside, and we ask you to take pictures and not take the flyers. And I do have a handful of flyer copies of mine that I can take with me and maybe put over by the bulletin board. So thank you all for coming. Thank you for your engagement. Thank you for my lovely new friend who lent me her shawl so I wouldn't turn blue. And let's close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Did you hit pause?
Huh?
Did you hit pause?
No.
Oh, great. All right, well, that's why we did the backup.